What is going on, guys? Welcome to today's episode of GoingForTwo.com's press coverage podcast presented by Talk Loud Radio. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. All right, guys, tonight we have our first fan battle. I was supposed to have one last night. Unfortunately, it got canceled. So tonight we're going to try to squeeze in two games tonight. We're going to do the Lions at Seahawks and the Dolphins at Steelers game tonight. So we got a lot to cram in, guys, so I don't want to take up a lot of time here in this monologue. So we're just going to jump right into a commercial. When we come back, we'll have our first fan battle.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingForTwo.com has you covered. GoingForTwo.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingForTwo.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit GoingForTwo.com because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, guys, welcome back. As promised, we are here tonight with our first fan battle. We have representing the Steelers, we have Mr. Wayne. Wayne, where are you from? Are you in Pittsburgh?
No, I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Salt Lake City, Utah. All right, we got some friends of the podcast out there in Utah. All right, and representing the Dolphins, we have GoingForTwo.com's very own Eric Frostbutter. He writes for us occasionally. You're in Miami, right? I mean, you're in Florida, right, Eric?
Yes. Yeah, I'm in Orlando.
All right. Good deal, guys. Good deal. Thanks for coming on tonight. Kind of excited to do this. It's a new format. I've never done this before. I was supposed to have the first run through last night. Unfortunately, things didn't go as planned, and we ended up doing a NFL preview show instead. So we're just going to jump right in. I'm going to kind of give a recap for the listeners out there and how this is going to go. It's basically a four-round sort of debate, sort of first-take style. Round one, I'm calling it three things. Basically, I'm going to give you three things that your team probably needs to do in order to win the game, but you have to remove one of them. You have to basically say that this is the one thing that is the least important, and if we didn't do this, we could still win the game. So that's round one. In round two, I'm going to give you a statement about the game and how the game may or may not go. And you have to argue for it and then against it. Obviously, I'll give a statement about the Steelers and say, you know, whatever I'm going to say. And then the Steelers fan, Wayne, you'll sort of defend it. And then Eric, you'll get a chance to rebut his argument, and then vice versa for the Dolphins. And then round three, I'm going to give you a statement that you have to complete this sentence. I'll give you something like, you know, the Steelers need to do this to win the game, you know, give you a blank statement, and then you got to fill in the blank. And then round four is just sort of an open mic. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to just kind of tell me why your team's going to win this weekend. Everyone got that?
Yes, sir.
All right, good deal. All right, we're going to start with round one, three things. We'll start with you, Eric. So your Dolphins obviously are very run-oriented, especially now that Ryan Tannehill is injured and you got Matt Moore there. Jay Ajayi, yeah, this is your first thing. Jay Ajayi must have at least 100 yards and a touchdown. Number two is Matt Moore can't turn the ball over more than twice in the game. And number three, Dolphins defense must contain either Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. They probably can't do both, but they can do one or the other. Which of those three things do you think is the least important to your team winning the game, and why do you think that?
Well, all three are obviously important. I mean, the Dolphins are long shots to win this game, but I actually might surprise you, and I'm going to go with Jay Ajayi rushing for 100 yards and a touchdown. The reason being is yes, he's gone onto the national scene with three 200-yard games, but the reality is he's only gone over 100 four times, including those three 200 yards. So, and Miami has found ways to win. They won 9 of 10, you know, during that span.
So that's a good call. I actually didn't even realize he didn't go over 100 yards more than four times.
Yeah. So, I mean, teams have to respect the run game now in Miami. That's without question. And I do believe that he will go over 100 yards and get the touchdown. But compared to the other two, I honestly believe this will be a shootout between both teams. So Matt Moore turning the ball over more than twice, Miami is going to need every possession they can get. So unless he is a gunslinger, so unless they're deep interceptions that are basically punts, you can't put Ben in a good position and on a short field. And as well, also containing Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. The Dolphins defense actually did that very well the first time they met. Bell did get over 100 yards total, but it was actually kind of quiet and he didn't score. And Brown, I believe they held under 40 yards, which is amazing. So, I mean, it's not the same defense. It's banged up now, but I would actually go with Ajayi having to rush over that.
All right. Definitely surprised me. I thought he was sort of the key to victory there. I think y'all had to control the ball and keep the ball out of Big Ben's hands, and Ajayi was sort of the key to that. So interesting you'd go with that one. All right, Wayne, so let's look at your three things. We got Le'Veon Bell must have at least 100 yards total from scrimmage. Antonio Brown must have at least 100 yards. Or the Steelers defense must hold Jay Jai to under 100 yards. Which one are you removing there?
The one I'm taking out is Antonio Brown having 100 yards receiving. The reason being... you know, Big Ben's pretty capable of spreading the ball out. We've got Ladarius Green, who we didn't have in our previous matchup, and Jesse James. I think he's pretty much underrated. You know, he hasn't been around that long. He had a couple, and you know, when he first came on with the team, he had a lot of drops, and a couple fumbles. And I think Ben lost confidence in him and kind of stayed away from him, but James has been picking it up big time down the stretch. Sammy Coates, you know, he kind of disappeared after he broke his hand, but with some rest, you know, he might be capable. But I think the biggest receiver that's going to step up and fill that if Brown is shut down, and it's going to be Eli Rogers. Ben stated that Eli Rogers is a threat on the offense that he's been missing since he's been there, and a true slot receiver that he hasn't had since Antoine Randall left.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Eli Rogers thing. I think I was high on him. You know, I play fantasy football, of course, and I was high on him coming into the season. And, you know, he has that sort of quick in space sort of, you know, that you need in the slot receiver, sort of that Julian Edelman, Wes Welker sort of ilk, where he's very quick in space, and that's the kind of guy you need in that slot. So I think he's definitely something that Big Ben could lean on if for some reason the Dolphins, you know, shut down Antonio Brown. I think you've got some more options there. So you're going with Antonio Brown having at least 100 yards as you remove. That's pretty good. So you don't think that holding Jay Ajayi under 100 yards is going to be important, or you just think it's not as important?
You know, when you gave me the list of all three, the most important to winning the game is Bell having 100 total yards. I think that that's also the most easily attainable achievement in this game. He's just such a threat. He follows his blocker so well.
Definitely.
He's a freak of nature. Like, he's just... He's so fast, yet he's so patient to just sit back there and get behind one of our big offensive linemen and just kind of stay. It's almost like he plays hide and seek, like he stays hidden and then he finds like a gap that a mouse could get through, and he just slims down and just cuts right through there and he's gone.
Agreed. I think he's definitely a key to victory for y'all. I think having Bell there would be getting 100 yards. I think he's one of the few running backs in the NFL right now that sort of run, you know, regular passing routes, not just the flats and the screens. I mean, he runs, you know, a regular, you know, out routes, in routes. I've seen them throw fades to him in the end zone. I mean, it's ridiculous how versatile this guy is. So I agree that he's probably the key to a victory. He's probably the most important, you know, piece to that, to that puzzle to beating the Dolphins.
You know, and we do have D'Angelo Williams back as well. He didn't play too much in Week 17 against that game against the Browns, but I think it was more of reserving him for the playoffs. The Steelers fully know what Williams is capable of. You know, he's a definite running RB1 when Bell's out and he's in. So if something were to happen to Bell, it's not like there's a huge, huge drop off in what Williams is capable of doing.
All right, good deal. Both good, valid points there. Let's go ahead and move on to round two. This is where I'm going to give you a statement, sort of a game script of what could happen in this game. We'll start with the Steelers. We'll start with you, Wayne. I'm going to give you a statement that's sort of a negative towards your team, and I want you to sort of defend it and tell me why that's not going to happen. And then, Eric, I'll give you a chance to dispute it. All right, so the Steelers' run defense has struggled at times this year. They gave up 204 yards and two TDs to Ajayi last game they played. They will struggle again to stop Ajayi, and the Dolphins will control the clock, keeping the ball out of Big Ben's hands and the offense off the field. So go ahead and argue against that statement for me, Wayne.
Yeah, I think that one for me is pretty easy to argue against because the Dolphins don't have Ryan Tannehill back there, and Moore only had that one start to kind of like fully have an entire game in a week to game plan. I just really wasn't that impressed. And the Steelers defense, you know, the games where we played bad, we were terrible, but everyone's seen what we're capable of with our blitzing. And the biggest difference between the last game we played against the Dolphins and now is our defensive backs have stepped up. And not only do we have defensive backs that can contain the pass, we've got guys that step up and they will lay someone out. Mike Mitchell, Sean Davis, Artie Burns, the rookie, you know, he's just been playing phenomenal these last couple weeks. So I really don't think that the Steelers are going to have a problem shutting down Ajayi. I think the passing game's not going to be there. So Miami's going to try and be handing the ball off to Ajayi, but I see them bringing in Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake and trying to get some change of pace going on to throw some stuff around. I expect it to be trick plays, but in all, I think I'm going to be really impressed with the Steelers defense in this game.
All right. So he's saying, Eric, that that he doesn't respect Matt Moore, and they're basically going to stack the box and shut down Ajayi. What say you?
I got to disagree with that. Matt Moore has been excellent since he started. Truth is, Miami would not be in the playoffs without him. Yes, Tannehill, you know, got him in the position, but Matt Moore actually had to finish it off. He's had a quarterback rating of over 105 in his 3+ games compared to Tannehill's 93. Now, I know it's only 3 games, but he's thrown multiple touchdown passes in all those games. Pittsburgh will have to respect Matt Moore. He is a savvy veteran, even though he is starting his first playoff game in his 10-year career. But Ajayi he'll find the running room. I mean, this guy has broken 58 tackles this year, leading the league by a huge margin. I think it's like 11 or 12 is the next best person. Nearly 4 yards per carry after contact. He carried for over 8 yards against Pittsburgh the first time around, which was his season high. They're going to struggle with Ajayi and the running game. Kenyon Drake is nothing to sneeze at either. He's been averaging 5.5 yards per carry when he's been in there this year. So I think Miami has a very well-balanced offense that's pretty much underrated to the national attention because they don't get any. But that's fine. And I think, like I said, I think it's going to be a shootout. And pretty much whoever has the ball last, I believe, will win this game.
All right. All right. Both good arguments. All right, Eric, now we're going to go to your Dolphins, and I'll give you a statement, and then I'll give you a chance to argue for it, and then Wayne, you can argue against it. Dolphins have lost every game this year in which Jay Ajayi has carried the ball fewer than 19 times. The Steelers will get up big and keep him from seeing that many carries, resulting in a loss. So, Eric, if you can argue against that one for me.
Sure. Part of my argument against that is it is very important that the Dolphins get off to a good start, because if they don't, then this would be an accurate statement. But I do believe that Miami will be ready. And as long as it doesn't get out of hand, Adam Gase is going to lean on Jay Ajayi. He rushed 25 times against Pittsburgh last time. I wouldn't be surprised to see 30 plus. He rode 30 plus against Buffalo, to actually clinch their playoff spot. And in this cold weather, I mean, I think Matt Moore can throw in the cold, but this is a little colder than what he's used to. So, yeah, I definitely see Ajayi rushing over 25, maybe even 30 times. And I wouldn't be surprised. I actually believe both backs will actually go for over 150 total yards.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's a bold statement there. All right, Wayne, so tell me your argument to this.
I think I kind of messed up. I talked about it a little bit in my previous question, but I don't think Ajayi is going to get those 19 touches between the Dolphins playing behind the whole game and then them bringing in Drake and Williams. I really just don't see them riding Ajayi, you know, as I had Ajayi on my fantasy team all season. And, you know, the only times where he really just balled out or when the Dolphins had a lead, you know, and that's the reason he was getting all those carries. But if they're playing from behind, the Dolphins receiving core is just phenomenal. So I just don't see them trying to stick with something that isn't working. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot.
Trying to play catch up.
I just don't see Ajayi getting those 19 carries.
Okay. All right. So you think your team gets up big and then they just can't get the ball to Ajayi. They got to open up the offense a little bit.
Yeah. Playing at home and having Roethlisberger not injured, you know, for the first time in however many years going into the playoffs, like that's pretty, I'm really excited about this Steelers playoff team. It's been a while since we've gone into the playoffs with, you know, without any injuries. You know, I mean, we have injuries, just not, you know, we've got Bell, we've got Brown, we've got Roethlisberger. So
big three are there.
I really like our outlook going into this game.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. That wraps up round two. Let's go ahead and move into round three, which is basically fill in the blank. I'm going to give you a statement, and you just got to finish this sentence. Wayne, we'll start with you. For the Steelers to win, the Big Ben must blank.
Let's see. For the Steelers to win, Big Ben, he needs to give the ball to Bell, you know, play action. He needs to get Bell involved, screen passes. And then when he's not giving the ball to Bell, they're going to be focused on Antonio Brown. I think the biggest key is to get the tight ends involved, you know, have some two tight end sets, Jesse James and Ladarius Green, and just let Ben do his thing. Like, he's really comfortable just having that safety net with his tight ends. And just having two of them, something that, you know, we haven't had since we had Heath Miller and Matt Spaeth. If Ben can get the tight ends involved, that's going to open up Brown and Rodgers, and then it's just a never ending. The Steelers just have so many weapons on their offense.
Yeah, they really do. It's going to be tough for the Dolphins to contain all of them.
Yeah, and as long as Ben's distributing the ball, the Dolphins are going to have a hard time like focusing in on the, you know, on trying to take out Bell or Brown. I just think we have too many weapons to contain him. And he's healthy.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely a plus. Big Ben's not always healthy. I mean, he's healthy enough to play at least. That's what we know. I mean, Big Ben plays hurt all the time.
A guy would play through a gunshot wound. You know? he's just something else, and he takes some pretty brutal hits, and he stays in there. So,
all right, let's flip it to the Dolphins side here, Eric. For the Dolphins to win this game, Matt Moore must what?
I'll say limit his mistakes. Like I do actually agree with Wayne that the Dolphins defense is likely to struggle a lot with all the weapons that they have. So the best way for Miami to win is just to play keep up. And so, like I said earlier, Matt Moore is a gunslinger. So there's a possibility for some interceptions. He has thrown one in each of his three starts. As long as he keeps it at that number and it doesn't put the Dolphins in a hole, I think they'll be okay. Ideally, though, he won't throw any because Miami will need every possession that they get, and hopefully they have the ball last.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's Matt Moore's job, really, is don't turn the ball over. I think they got to take some deep shots just to soften up that Steelers defense, you know, make them respect the deep ball, because Matt Moore is more of a deep ball thrower than Tannehill ever was, so I think that kind of helps a little bit with the J.H.I. getting some running lanes. So I agree. I think Moore needs to limit his mistakes for sure.
Yeah, much more accurate.
All right, going back to the Steelers side, we got one more fill in the blank here for you. The Steelers defense must blank for the Steelers to win this game. Wayne, this for you.
The Steelers need to shut down Jarvis Landry. Devontae Parker still hasn't really found a groove with the offense. Carew, he hasn't really stepped up. If we can contain Landry, I think the next obvious choice for Matt Moore to be his go-to guy is going to be Kenny Stills, a guy who's been kind of looked over by everyone. And he's just, when he's gotten his opportunity, he's stepped up. And if the Dolphins can somehow get Landry and Stills going, the Steelers are going to be in trouble. It's just, that'll open up those running lanes for Ajayi. You know, who knows, Parker might get more involved. That's what I'm going with.
All right, good call. All right, Eric, back to you. The Dolphins offense must blank for the Dolphins to win this game.
Very simply, score touchdowns. I have watched Miami for years settle for field goals or just punt the ball away after a 3-and-out. They got here by scoring touchdowns, and Matt Moore has thrown multiple touchdowns in every game so far that he started, and that must continue.
All right, so basically score touchdowns and no field goals to keep up with the Steelers' offense.
Yeah, like I said, they have to play keep up in this game because Pittsburgh's offense is full of weapons, and I don't think as banged up as the Dolphins' defense is, you have two starting safeties that are on injured reserve now. I just don't see them being able to contain that offense, so the only way to win this game is going to be keep scoring.
All right, good deal. All right, now it's ready for round four, basically open mic. You got 2 minutes. Wayne, we'll start with you. In 2 minutes or less, tell me why your team wins this game.
The Steelers are going to win this game. Hey,
Wayne, your phone's breaking up. No, you're still breaking up here. Hold on, let me see. All right, Eric, let's start with you and see if we can get the situation fixed with Wayne's phone. What in 2 minutes or less, tell me why the Dolphins are going to win this game.
Okay, basically, I'm going to do my 2-minute warning on how I think the end of the game is going to go down. Like I said before, it's going to be a shootout. They're going to trade blows throughout the game. It's not exactly going to be like the Rose Bowl, but it's going to be high scoring, even in the cold weather. I predict both teams will be in the 30s. Miami's going to get the ball with about 3 to 4 minutes left in the game, trailing by less than a touchdown. Pittsburgh's defensive struggles are going to continue on the drive. Ajayi will already be over 100 yards rushing at this point. He's going to continue to rip off huge chunks of yardage and gain a couple of first downs. Matt Moore is going to spread the ball around. You're going to see completions by Landry, Parker, Stills, maybe even some Deion Sims. And it's going to be capped off with a touchdown pass to Devontae Parker with roughly, there's going to be some time left, 30 to 45 seconds, and that's going to be the one and only time the Dolphins defense does just enough to stop the Steelers.
All right, that's pretty a pretty exact game script there. I like it. All right, Wayne, is your phone working now, you think?
All right, how I sound?
Yep, you're good now. All right, go ahead and 2 minutes or less, give us why your team's going to win this game.
Okay, right. Why my team's going to win the game, you're looking at a Steelers home game in the postseason. That place is going to be insane. It's going to be loud. The Dolphins are going to have a hard time controlling the crowd noise. The only way to do that, you know, is going to be Ajayi ripping off a 60-yard touchdown, which he's fully capable of every time he touches the ball. The Steelers helped, you know, with Ben, Bell, Brown. You know, we had a lot of guys step up throughout the season, you know, especially when, you know, when Sammy Coates, you know, he came up and he was doing great, and then he broke his hand. You had DHB, Hayward Bay, you know, he's made some big plays the last couple games. Martavis Bryant being out and Ben being comfortable with DHB, he might be the sleeper who gets a couple big plays and gets it done for Pittsburgh.
All right, going with DHB. All right. You know, honestly, when he left the Raiders there, I didn't think he had much of a career left, but he sort of revived his career and with the Steelers there. So he's definitely stepped up in some big games, that's for sure.
Yeah, the biggest thing is he's content with his role. I think, you know, when he was with the Colts and the Raiders, you know, especially with the Raiders, with it being his first contract and a first-round draft pick, he had all those expectations. And then with the Colts, you know, I think only he had those expectations for himself. And then when he came to Pittsburgh, he kind of took a couple steps back. And, you know, he's from there. He's spent a lot of time with the community. You know, he just enjoys being on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think it has anything to do with his production or anything like that. But, you know, when he gets his opportunities, he does have some drops. That's been his big knock. Same with Coates. But, I mean, he does get those big plays done. Those jump balls, 60 yards down the field, 40 yards. He just gets up there and brings it down. So he's definitely my sleeper pick for the Steelers.
Good deal. All right, guys. Now I just want to sort of declare a winner. I'm picking the Steelers as far as the team to win this game. I think at home, I think Big Ben, his home road splits are like legendary. I think, you know, when he's at home, his touchdown to INT ratio is off the charts compared to his road games. Of course, the game in Miami, he was coming off an injury, and of course, he was on the road to begin with. So I think the Steelers do win this game. I think Eric's made some pretty good points, I think, with the Dolphins. And I think the debate, I'm going to declare Eric the winner for this one. But I do think the Steelers are going to get this game. I do want to thank both of you for coming on tonight. I know it's, you know, kind of put together at the last minute here, because it's kind of tough with, you know, not knowing who the teams are until the last week of the season. So it was kind of rushed to get everything sort of squeezed in there. But I do appreciate you both coming on tonight to make this happen.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. Hopefully after the Steelers pull off the win, you have me back next week.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good.
I'm here.
He had to get a little jab in there at the end. I like it.
That's fine. That's fine.
All right.
I feel really confident.
All right. Good deal. Hey, I appreciate it, guys. And I'm rooting for both your teams this weekend. And I'll be talking to one of you after this game this weekend.
All right. Sounds good.
Good.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, guys.
All right. You too. Thanks.
Subscribe to TalkLoud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Or download the Podbean app on the App Store or Google Play and search for TalkLoud Radio, all one word.
All right, guys, welcome back. I want to first thank our previous guest for coming on. Eric and Wayne did a great job in debate. We've got now our second group of the game here is going to be the Lions at the Seahawks. Representing the Lions, we have Donald. Donald, are you from Detroit? Is that right?
Yes, correct.
All right, so you were in Detroit. And then for the Seahawks, we have a returning guest, Hannah. Y'all may recall in the beginning of the football season, she actually was on the Fantasy Focus podcast with Matthew Berry. That's kind of how we hooked up. I heard her voice on there. I tweeted at Field Yates, and somehow we got linked up. So she came on early in the season to do some fantasy shows with me. She is now returning to the show to represent her Seahawks. And you're in Seattle, right, Hannah?
Yes. Yeah, I was born here.
All right. Good deal. So we've got fans that are actually in their hometowns. That's pretty good. We've had a couple fans from all over the country. I had a Packers fan on last night that's from Texas. So, he might be matching up with the Dallas Cowboys next. So that's kind of interesting. All right. So let's go ahead and jump in. I'm going to kind of give a quick recap to the listeners and how this works. We're going to have four rounds of debate here. First round is going to be called Three Things. I'm going to give you three things about your team that they need to do to win the game. You have to give me the one that is the least important, the one you think you can win the game without accomplishing, and tell me why. And then in round two, I will give you a statement about the game. You will give me your argument for, and then the other person will give their argument against that statement. We'll do two statements. And then in round three, I will give you a statement and you have to fill in the blank and explain why. And then in round four is this 2-minute warning. I'm going to give you open mic to explain why your team wins this weekend. Everyone got that?
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right. Good deal. So we're going to start off in round one, three things. So Donna, we'll start with you. I'm going to give you three things your Lions need to do to win this game. And you tell me which one's the least important. The Lions' offensive line has to give Stafford time and keep him off his back. The defense must find a way to contain Jimmy Graham, or the defense must make Russell Wilson a pocket passer and keep him from extending plays. Which one of those threes is the least important, and why do you think?
Well, I'm going to focus in on the O-line. The Lions' offensive line being a key contributor is the least important aspect the Lions worry about Saturday night, because this unit has produced this season. They're currently one of the top 15 teams in the least number of quarterback hits this year. Rookie Decker has been a bright spot on the Lions offensive line, so I believe that we shouldn't worry about that.
Okay. All right. So you think the offensive line can contain the pass rushers of the Seahawks, so the other two things keeping Russell Wilson in the pocket and containing Jimmy Graham are more important, right?
Yes.
All right.
Definitely.
Good deal. All right, Hannah, now we're going to go to you with the Seahawks. The Seahawks, of course, have struggled a bit to run the ball this year. But in this game, they must run the ball effectively. That's your first item. The secondary must contain the Lions' passing attack, or to keep their kicker, who struggled this year with some missed extra points and some missed game-winning, game-tying field goals, they have to keep their kicker from having to decide the game. Which of those three things is the least important to your team?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me about that last one. definitely number one, it's the Seahawks must run the ball effectively because we're not currently doing that. you know, that is definitely the least important of these three. Our yards per rushing attempt on the year is 3.9. Last week it was 3.5, so below our average. Versus the Rams, it was 2.4. And in that close game against Arizona, it was 2.9. So we really could have won that Arizona game. And, you know, with the Rams and the 49ers, we were way below our yearly average, and we still, you know, pulled out the win. So I definitely think it's that first one.
All right. Yeah, good call. And surprisingly, you weren't able to run the ball on my 49ers because, you know, everyone else was able to run on us all year. I was surprised we were able to hold you down as much as we did. But division rivals, you know, you never know what's going to happen. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to round two now. This is where I'm going to give you a statement. We will start with, let's see here, who do I have starting first? The Seahawks. We'll start with the Seahawks. Actually, I'm sorry, we'll start with the Lions. I'm going to give you a statement, Donald, and you tell me why this is going to happen. The Seahawks' pass rush will be too much for Matt Stafford to handle and will force him to at least two costly turnovers. So I want you to argue against that statement. Why won't that happen?
Well, the Seahawks defense is 12th in the league in hurries on opposing quarterbacks. I think they have 84 of those as a team. So they're not that much better than any other team Detroit has faced this season. I'll give you an example. Teams like Jacksonville, Eagles, Bears, Lions, let's see, Titans, Packers, Rams, Vikings, all has very good quarterback pressures in the league. But Detroit offensive line has only given up 79 hits and 37 sacks, which puts them at 2 sacks per game. And he's turned the ball over once of every 60 dropbacks, so I'm very confident that that pressure wouldn't rattle them as much.
All right, all right. Hannah, I'll give you a chance to rebut that statement. Do you think your Seattle pass rush will be able to get to Stafford and sort of force him into some costly turnovers?
I do, and I kind of think it's just because of what Detroit has right now, which is they're very much like us and one-dimensional, and the fact that they don't really have, you know, a running back. We got Zenner, but you know, they're really missing Theo Riddick. And so if we can just shut down that run game and really push Stafford to throw the deep balls, I think we're ready there with especially, you know, Deshaun Shedd out there with Sherman. And even if we don't, if we notice after that first quarter, if we're not pushing him to throw the deep ball and Stafford's kind of doing some slants, which, you know, has been difficult for us in the past, we're just going to adjust that and kind of push him to kind of step it up, and we'll step up and not let him, get those slants in.
All right. All right. Good deal. Yeah, that's one thing the Seahawks have struggled with is those short underneath routes. I think if you can sort of jam them up, you know, as the Seahawks are known to do, I think you have a shot of slowing that Lions offense down. But it's been tough, you know, all year for any team to shut them down. They've been pretty good through the pass. All right, so now we're going to go to you, Hannah. I'm going to give you a statement. I'm going to have you argue against this statement, and then, of course, I'll give you a chance to rebut it, Donald. The vaulted Seahawks secondary has struggled at times this season. The Lions' passing attack will have its way with the defense and allow Stafford to lead them on a game-winning drive. What say you, Hannah?
What has to do with that one-dimensional offense that I was talking about and the fact that, you know, it's such a passing game in Detroit. And when you cut out, you know, either a running game or a passing game, it's definitely easier to get those interceptions, cause those turnovers, and even just get to the quarterback. But all in all, I think that the defense, you know, we had a hard lesson to learn against Arizona when, you know, we went in and Hauschka missed the kick, but if we had just stopped them on that last drive, you know, we would have won the game. So I just don't see their egos and that team letting that happen again.
You definitely got some egos, that's for sure. I will give you that. As a Niners fan, y'all got some egos over there. namely one of your cornerbacks there that, you know, likes to talk a lot.
Yeah.
All right, so Donald, go ahead and rebut that statement.
All right, well, I'm torn with this one because I don't know if I should agree or disagree with this one, basically because the Lions tend to have two different approaches on game day. They would either go into the Eric Coryell offense or they would employ the Earhart Perkins control the clock, take what the defense give you approach. Now the case, the only way we would take the top off Seattle defense is if we go all out pass happy with the Eric Coryell offense. Early to gain a sizable lead. If we go to Earhart Perkins route, no one should expect big numbers from Stafford, but his completion percentage will be high and our receivers have a lot of yak yards. So, I don't know. I think he's going to do all right Saturday. Okay. You know, I think they're going to do the Earhart Perkins route and control the clock, because that's how we've been successful most of the season, you know, with those short and intermediate passes and stuff of that nature.
Yeah, I agree. I think your team is built for that. I think they will miss Theo Riddick in that sense, because he was sort of that run game through the pass game kind of thing, where he just caught those little short passes and gave you that threat to run the ball. But I think Golden Tate, he struggled earlier in the year, but he's been coming on lately. And I believe in the last couple of years, he was one of the top, you know, leaders, if not the leader in yak yards. He pretty much can turn a 2-3 yard screenplay into a touchdown anytime, you know, at any point in the game. So I think that's right. I think they're probably going to test him underneath and sort of dink and dunk the Seattle Seahawks to death, I think, in this game.
I believe it.
All right, let's go to round three now. I'm going to give you a statement, and I want you to finish the statement. We'll start with you, Donald. For the Lions to win this game, Matthew Stafford must blank.
He must continue to do what he was capable of achieving during the second and third quarter of the season, which is control the time of possession and win the third down battle. During the fourth quarter of the season, the Lions were not in a position to achieve those goals. But since the Seahawks doesn't have a ground attack like the Giants and the Cowboys, I have a strong feeling that the Lions' defense will give our offense more opportunities to achieve these goals.
All right. Good deal. Now we'll go to you, Hannah. For the Seahawks to win this game, Russell Wilson must blank.
He must be a threat to run, even if he doesn't, because, you know, that just is another person on the field that the, you know, defense must be ready to step up and, you know, try to tackle and contain. And he's just another threat. And, you know, we just found out today that they're saying he's going to probably get his knee brace off, which gives him even more mobility. So he's really good, rolling out and kind of finding those quick passes. But I think it's also important that he tucks the ball and runs to get those, you know, those important first downs when we need him to.
Yeah, I think we saw last week in that Lions-Packers game how much they can the Lions can struggle with that, because I think Rodgers, you know, yeah, I think he might have been their leading rusher in that game, because he kept every time that the Lions got close to him, he took off and got a first down.
Yep.
All right. I hear you over there groaning over there, Donald. Let's go ahead and get your next statement here. The Lions offense, I think we kind of touched that on a little bit, but we'll go ahead and let you do it again. The Lions offense must blank for the Lions to win this game.
I'll say score more than 20 points. You know, see, we all know the cliche that says the person that scored the most points win the game. It's true in essence, but when discussing the Lions and their fundamentals and foundation for success under Jim Caldwell, you must understand his philosophy as a head coach. Coach Jimmy has a old school approach where, again, he wants to manipulate the clock, win a third down battle, force you to use your timeouts, and pin your ears back as close to the goal line as possible. If we can do that, I believe we can successfully pull this game out on the road with our special teams. Matt Prater has been very great for us this season.
Yes, he has. I think he actually single-handedly won you that game in, I think it was Minnesota. I don't know if it was in Minnesota. I think they came down exactly. Had like 40 seconds to go. I think kicked like a 58-yard field goal to put it in overtime and then end up winning the game in overtime. So, yeah, he's definitely been big for y'all this year. All right, let's go back to the other side. The Seahawks defense must blank for the Seahawks to win this game.
We've got to win the turnover margin by two or more. You know, obviously, just like you know, you guys were saying about scoring more, most points always obviously wins the game. You know, having the more, having more turnovers has proven that, you know, those are the people, those are the teams that win. And especially because we're home, takeaways are absolutely crazy when they happen in the, with the home crowd. You know, takeaways and false starts, if we can get one of those early, you know, turn it over on the 30 and go in and score, it's kind of game over. Once that stadium starts rumbling, it's really hard for the other team to hear, for the other team to stay focused. And so I think that, you know, we've got to get those turnovers and we got to get them early and get the crowd into it.
I agree 100%. Like being, like I said, being a Niners fan, I've seen it firsthand with my team going in there and they get those, you know, one or two early turnovers and quick scores and that, that crowd gets into it. It's near impossible to sort of recover from that in that stadium. I definitely agree with you on that, that they need to get some turnovers for sure. All right, now we're going to go to round four. Basically going to open up the mic and give you 2 minutes or less to tell me why your team wins this game this weekend. Donald, we'll start with you. Give us why your Lions are going to win, go into Seattle and win this game.
Well, we'll keep this short and sweet by reiterating the importance of winning the third down battle and the time of possession. Currently, the Lions and the Seahawks hold 21st, 22nd, and TOP respectfully. So this could swing either way, but the Lions are better at converting the ball on third downs. They hold the 16th in the league, and Seattle retained the 22nd slot. If the Lions continue this trend in Seattle, they could come out as the victors, but it could be a low-scoring game if that happens. A lot of field goals.
A lot of field goals. Yeah, I agree. I think this can come down to the kickers for sure, which I'm sure Hander doesn't want to hear because Hauschka hasn't been so good this year. He's been good in previous years, so maybe he'll get that magic back. All right,
he'll
Hanny.
Back.
I'm sorry, what was that?
He'll bring it back.
All right, go ahead and give me your 2 minutes, Hannah.
Okay, so I have a couple of things. You know, number one, we've got Russell. He's the sixth highest pass rating in NFL playoff history, which just is helpful to have back there. You know, kind of looking back at the Lions, none of the nine teams that the Lions defeated made the playoffs. Three out of the four of the teams we beat, you know, including the Patriots, which was pretty big. You know, neither team really has that rushing offense. And so I think that it is going to come down to that passing game. And I think that we have the better, you know, passing defense. To shut down, you know, Marvin Jones and Tate. And we also have people that are kind of, we hide them until the playoffs, like Luke Wilson and even Jimmy. And I think that we have some just hidden gems like Kaysen Williams and Deshaun Shedd is going to do, I think, a really good job, and Frank Clark. So we've got some people that aren't exactly in the limelight, but they're, you know, really holding down Michael Bennett. That type of thing. And really looking that the Lions have only won one game this season by more than 7 points, I believe, which, you know, it's kind of big if you think about it. We had over, I think we had five or more. So I think that with, and then lastly, we've got the 12th man. I know it's kind of cliche to say, but it's true that, you know, if you can get that stadium going, you can get some of those false starts. It's, like we were saying, it's really hard to turn back. I know that we've had some adversity this year. We've had, 15 running backs, but I think that, I just think that we have the bigger weapons. You know, Golden's coming back. I think that that possibly could play into it. I don't think it would be a big thing, but I just think all in all, while we don't have the perfect team right now, I think that we're ready for it. And I think that our team is has the right mentality to take it.
All right. Good deal. Good arguments on both sides. This is the part of the show where I have to pick a winner between the two of y'all. But first, before I get into that, I just want to give my thoughts on the game. I do think that Seattle being at home is a huge advantage. You know, Seattle plays much better at home. They haven't been quite as good lately as they were earlier, you know, in Pete Carroll's career when they were basically undefeated in that home stadium. But they're still really good. That defense is still really good. I think any quarterback going in there has a hard chance to just, you know, you can't change the plays because you can't hear yourself. It's hard to call audibles. So I do think the Lions have a large climb uphill in order to win this game. I do think Matt Stafford is capable of doing it as long as he can play mistake-free football, let the crowd, you know, sort of keep them quiet. If he can do that, keep them, keep their Russell Wilson and, you know, Jimmy Graham off the field as much as possible. I am picking the Seahawks to win this game. I do think that they have the home field advantage, and I think that plays a huge part. But as far as this debate goes, and far as who's won this debate, I think, Donald, you made some really good points, and you almost swayed me to pick the Lions in this one. So I'm going to give you the win on the debate. You know, Hannah, you did a great job, too. I think both of you did an excellent job. But I think if I was to just, if I was somebody coming in that, that know nothing about football and, you know, whatever, I think I would have been swayed to go with the Lions in this one. But great job for both of y'all. I appreciate y'all coming on the podcast tonight. And, you know, just I hope that, you know, whoever gets this victory will come on next week and do another one of these.
All right. Well, I'm cool.
Sounds good.
All right. Good deal. Hey, thanks again, guys, for coming on. And like I said, whoever wins this weekend, I will be contacting you and we'll get you on next week.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye.